We're holding the last line of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. We were talking about the din. Now, in the Mishnah, we said that if you have a wall between two chatzeres that's at least 10 tefachim tall, then it separates them, and then they can't make a joint eruv. But then we started talking about various possibilities of what you could. Now, we also talked about in the Mishnah, we had two different dinim. One is that it makes a separation and you can't, and they can't make a joined eruv. Another one was that if the wall itself, that the top of the wall itself may not be able to be used by either side. So we said in the Mishnah that if the wall is four amas wide, then a four tefachim wide rather, then you're allowed to, if you have fruit up there, let's say, you're allowed to go up there and eat it, but you're not allowed to bring it down into the chatzer. And then we had a machlokas, Rav and Rav Yechanan, what happens if the wall is narrower than four tefachim? Do we say, Rav says not only the same din would apply, Rav says, but you wouldn't even be able to go up onto the wall and eat the fruit because the wall itself is bottle to both Rishuyas, to both Chatzeras, and therefore, and both of them have equal rights over it, and therefore you can't move anything in it at all, because that would be like moving from one chatzer to another. And Rabbi Yechanan said you would be allowed to go up there, and you would be allowed to go up there and eat. You'd even be able to go and bring fruit up there, because since it's bottled to both chatzeres, so it's considered an extension of both chatzeres. So now we started talking about what might be needed in order for the top of this wall to be considered an extension of a chatzer. So for example, we said if you put a ladder over there and the ladder is a certain minimum size or a certain minimum weight, then it's considered to be that you have now the equivalent of an opening. So now not necessarily is that going to mean, so some of the dinim we've been talking about are in terms of being able to make a Pesach between the two chatzeres such that they can make a joint eruv. Some of them, for example, we talked about making an itztava, making a like a bench-like thing in front of the wall, are not so much in order to make a Pesach, but in order to make it that you should be able to use the top of the wall because it'll be less than 10 tefachim height from the top of the itztava that you made. I didn't mention yesterday, by the way, actually, a couple of details in this, which are going to be coming up through the sugya over here. First of all, the Rosh brings from Maharam Rutenberg that if you're talking, there's a difference between making something that is going to be considered a doorway there's a difference between making something that's going to be considered a doorway such that if they make the same thing on the other side, then they'll be able to make a joint Eruv versus making something that'll just be Mamayit, that'll reduce the height of the wall from your side so that it'll be more like the din we said yesterday. If you have the wall is higher, if one chotzer is higher than the other, so the wall is within 10 tefachim on one side and more than 10 tefachim on the other. So the Rosh brings from Maharam Rutenberg that if you want it to be a Pesach for that purpose, then it has to go all the way to the top of the wall. If you only want it to be Mamayit, then it only needs to be within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. And also he talks about there can be a difference how wide it needs to be. Does it need to be 4x4 tefachim or not? Another point, that's one point, which is going to come up as we go through the sugya over here, differences where you have something is going to make a Pesach, is going to create a Pesach between the two sides where they can make a joint Eruv versus where it just creates a miut, where now one side is now within 10 tefachim of the wall and is able to use the top of it freely and be able to carry freely between the top of the wall and their chotzer. That's one point. Another point is, we said yesterday at the end, we were talking about a case where you have itztava al gav itztava, one bench-like thing on top of another. So we said they have to be within 3 tefachim of each other. Rashi said the reason is because Rashi has a concept in the sugya over here called miut ba'avir, that if what you're putting up to reduce the height of the wall is just hanging there in the air, then it doesn't count as a miut, Rashi says. So therefore, in our case over here, with the last case we had, or next to last case that we had in the Gemara, where we had an itztava, gav itztava, Rashi explains that's why you would have to have the bottom one is within 3 tefachim of the ground, and the one above it is also within 3 tefachim of the first one in order for it to be considered lavud. Otherwise, it wouldn't count because the top one would just be ba'avir. Now, you have a number of Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that and say there's no problem with Miut Ba'avir. So they understand that what it means is that when we say, we talk about itztava, agav itztava, what we mean is suppose that we they're not necessarily directly on top of each other. They're next to each other, or not next to, but they're offset from each other. One is a little, one is lower down, let's say towards the right side of the wall, and the other one is a little bit higher up, further towards the left side. So as long as they're within three tefachim of each other in horizontally, then we would say that then we would say that the two of them count together, and therefore they can work together to make the 4x4 tefachim that you need for this purpose. Again, this that we're saying that you need 4x4 itself is a whole nother discussion, because we had yesterday also the case of a ladder where we said that can be a mute. Rashi learns that we're talking about that a ladder is good enough for that purpose, even though now the rungs of the ladder are 4 tefachim wide, but they're not 4 tefachim deep coming out of the wall. And nevertheless, that seems to be good enough. Whereas when we say with an itztava over here, we're saying that it sounds like you need, or at least in some of the cases that we're going to see in the Gemara, it sounds like you need dalad al dalad. So Tosafos, in fact, disagrees with Rashi and says you always need something dalad al dalad. Marsha says maybe there's a difference between something that's directly on the wall itself versus something that is attached to something that's on the wall. Anyway. So now with all of that, we can get to the Gemara, and we're going to see that a number of these discussions between the Rishonim on the details of these dinim come up throughout the sugya. So v'omer Rav Nachman omer Rav Bavur, last words of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, ziz hayotzim in akosel. Oh, hello, Ali. Ziz hayotzim in akosel dalad al dalad. If there is a ledge sticking out of the wall that's 4x4 tefachim, and here you'd need 4x4 tefachim. Again, this is what leads Marsha to say when Tosfos discusses before about the question: do you need 4x4, or is it good enough that it's just 4 in one dimension? Why don't they bring up this point also? And so he says there can be a difference between something that's directly attached to the wall versus something that's attached to something that's attached to the wall. Anyway, so here you have a ledge that's sticking out of the wall. So unlike the itztava of the previous case, where you have it's standing on legs attached to the ground, here you have it's just sticking out of the wall like a balcony kind of. So v'hiniach olav sulam kol shehu, if he placed against this ziz a ladder, even if it's a very narrow ladder, even if the ladder is less than four tefachim wide, miatoi, then nevertheless, what he did is a valid miut. And now, therefore, in other words, so now we say, now the height to the top of the wall is reduced. And therefore, as long as this ziz is within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall, then the people on that side will be able to use the whole top of the wall on Shabbos and be able to carry things up and down from it, even though it's only against one part of the wall, because the ziz itself is four by four tefachim, even though the ladder leading up to it is narrower than that. But the Gemara says, "V'lo yamoran elo de'osve alei." Now that would only apply if you put the ladder on the ziz. In other words, so you have the ziz sticking out of the wall, and then you have the ziz along. Then you have the ziz you have the ladder. The top end of the ladder is leaning against the edge of the ziz. So like this. So you have the ziz sticking out over here, and then you have the ladder where the top end of it is leaning against the ziz. Aval osve bade, but if you just put the ladder or the stairs or whatever next to the ziz, then arvuchi, then all he accomplished by that is making the ziz wider, but you still have the problem of miut ba'ava. You still have the problem that this ziz is hanging in the air over there with nothing leading up to it, and therefore, according to Rashi's shita, it can't be mamayit, because you have, this isn't a good diagram. This is rather what we need. This is the diagram we need. You have the ziz over here, and you have the ladder next to it over here. The ladder is leaning against the wall, not against the ziz. So therefore the ziz is in the air, and therefore no good. That's according to Rashi's shita. According to the Rashba and the other Rishonim who learn that there's no problem, miut ba'aver, they say it means exactly the other way around. If you put the ladder against the ziz, they learn, what are you doing? You're accomplishing by that less of the ziz is available to stand on, because now you have part of it is being taken up by the ladder leaning against it. Therefore, if the ziz is exactly 4x4 and you put a ladder against it, you made things worse. Now you don't have a valid ziz. No, so that's if it's against it. If the ladder is leaning against the ziz, then the dash balloons. Now what you have is, therefore, you have part of the ziz that you can't use because the ladder is in the way. As opposed to if you have the ladder next to the ziz, just the opposite. What you did is good. Learns the Rashba, because then what you have is you're not interfering with the ziz at all. The whole ziz is 4x4, so therefore good. So now, even if the ziz itself was narrower than 4 tefachim, and together with the ladder you have a width of 4, then you're good. So exactly the other way around. But if they're side by side, right? So the Rashba learns. Let's say, for example, the ziz was stuck out 4 tefachim from the wall. Let's say though, from side to side, it's only 2 tefachim. Then you place next to it a ladder 2 tefachim wide. Good. Then you have a 4 tefach wide thing, and you have a miut. Again, that doesn't mean that now, again, according to what Maharam Rutenberg is saying, that the Rosh is bringing, this isn't necessarily going to allow you to use it as a Pesach, to be able to say that if they do the same thing on the other side, that now we can make a joint Eruv. What this accomplishes is that it's a miut that now you on that side of the chatzah where you built this whole contraption, now you're going to be able to use the top of that wall and be able to take things off the wall into your chatzah and bring things from the chatzah or from the houses through the chatzah, yeah, onto the top of the wall and vice versa. If they have the same contraption on both sides, and no, according to Maharam Rutenberg, it also has to be that it's within 10, that it's within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall, in order for that to work as a Pesach. Because then less than 3 is lavud, yeah. But if it's within 10 tefachim, then you've accomplished a miut, but you haven't accomplished a Pesach. This is what Maharam Rutenberg says, yeah. Okay. Onward. V'omer Rav Nachman, omer Rav Bavua, koisot tisha oser. Suppose the wall is 19 tefachim tall. So then, sorech ziz echad lahatira. Then all you need is one ziz to make it mutter. Because then what you do is, like we said, you have a ledge sticking out of the wall. Make sure that ledge is within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. It's also within 10 tefachim of the bottom of the wall, because the whole wall is 19 tefachim tall. So therefore, so you put a ladder, as we just said, you put a ladder by it. And according to Rashi again, the fact that you have a ladder by it prevents it from being a miut ba'avir, because you have something leading, you have stairs or a ladder or whatever leading up to it. Then you also have, it's within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. So therefore, the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim because the top of the wall is less than 10 tefachim from your ziz. Therefore, you're allowed to climb up the ladder. So now you're going to be able to, again, now you have a miut. Now, not a Pesach. Pesach, again, not necessarily, but you have a miut where now you're able to take things from your house through your chotzer and bring them up to the top of the wall by way of the sulam and the ziz, and vice versa. On the other hand, koisel esrim, on the other hand, if you have a wall 20 tefachim tall, tzorech shnei zizim latiroi, then you're going to need 2 zizim, because one has to be within 10 tefachim of the bottom of the wall, and one has to be within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. If you, again, if you have... Rashi explains, if you have it more than 10 tefachim off the ground, or then you can't just have a sulam kol shehu. Then you're going to need a sulam that's at least 4 tefachim wide for the sulam itself to count as a miut. So if you're going to have a ziz and you have a ladder going up to it, the ladder can be, you don't need to use a 4 tefach wide ladder. You can use a narrower ladder, provided that you have the ziz is within 10 tefachim of the ground, and then you're going to need another ziz, which is within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. So you're going to need 2 ladders and one. Hold on. Well, so right, each ziz has to be 4x4. Yeah. Rav Chista says, now what you do also need, you can't have those zizim be directly one on top of the other, because then how are you getting from one to the other? They have to be offset. So like you have in the picture over here, where one of them is for one of them, where the bottom one, let's say, is towards the left side of the wall, and then the one further up is further towards the right side of the wall. So now you're able to have a ladder on an angle going up to one, and then you have a ladder on an angle going up to the second one, like a fire escape kind of. So then that works, but if you have them directly one on top of the other, then it's no good, because then you don't really have a way of attaching a ladder where you're going to be able to easily go from one to the other. Again, the Rishonim who learn that there's no problem with miut ba'avir, they would say, nevertheless, though, the fact still remains, you need them offset, because, okay, it's not a problem if you were to have only one hanging in the air over there, it would be a miut, but you do need a way of getting from one to the other. So therefore, yeah, you still need them to be offset. Okay. No matter how wide the ziz, we're talking about the ziz is 4x4 tefachim. But If it's bigger, well, yeah. So again, if you want to use a wider ladder, then there's less of an issue anyway. The ladder itself, if it's wide enough, will be considered a meerut all by itself. We're talking about if you want to use a narrow ladder. Yeah. Okay. Another din. Now the Gemara is going to digress. Now we're going to digress from dinim involving eruvin and miut and psachim and whatever, and talk about a din having to do with Hilchas Shabbos as far as what constitutes a reshus yachid. And the reason is basically because we have the same kind of thing of miut involved, just like we were saying before about taking a wall, let's say 20 tefachim tall, and being memayit and making it considered as though it's less than 10 tefachim tall by putting up zizin by it. The same way we're going to have a discussion over here about a pillar where if you put something on top of it, does it create a miut? Yeah. So that's the thing. According to Rashi, Rashi has a problem with miut ba'aver. That is why, according to Rashi, you need, once you have the ladder going up to it, then it's not a miut ba'aver anymore. If you were to just have the ledge sticking out without a ladder leading up to it, Rashi would say, no good. No, no, no. In the case of the two zizim, there are ladders involved. No. So now we're talking, the din that we're going to talk about Shabbos now is a different issue. If you, we know in Hilchas Shabbos, if you have a pillar in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, where the pillar is at least 4x4 tefachim in cross section and at least 10 tefachim tall, then it counts as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So now we're going to talk about, is there the possibility that you add something to that pillar and that takes away its status as Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where you're memayetit. In other words, again, the same kind of miut that we're talking about over here, is it possible the same way over here, you add something to the wall and that takes away from the height of it, the same way here, is it possible that you add something to the pillar and you take away its status as Rosh Hashanah Yachid? So, Amar Rav Huna, Amud Rosh Hashanah Rabim Gavoya Asar V'Rochav Abba, if you have a pillar in Rosh Hashanah Rabim that's at least 10 tefachim tall and 4x4 tefachim wide, the Natz Ba Yosid Kol Shehu, if then you go and knock a nail into the, or peg into the top of it, no matter how tall it is, even if it's not very tall at all, then he reduces the height, then he reduces it, and it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anymore. Because you think about it, the point of a pillar like that is that you can place things on top of it. But if you have a nail sticking out of the top of it, you can't use the full 4x4 area of it. So now Rav Huna is telling us it wouldn't be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anymore. No, the point is you have, there's a pillar over there. Like this, you could have placed something on top of the pillar. And because there's a nail sticking out, you can't. Amar of Adaba Abba over Gavaya Shloisha. However, Rav Adaba Abba says that would only apply if the nail is at least 3 tefachim tall, sticking up above the pillar. If it's less than 3 tefachim tall above the pillar, then we would say that it's bottle. Then it would just be considered like part of the top of the pillar. Nevertheless, though, you know, the fact is, even if so you could say the same thing, even if it was flat, you know, it's not exactly flat. If you were to look at it under a microscope, it wouldn't be exactly flat, and it doesn't matter. So the usual rule of Lovewood would apply, where we would say that if there's that. On the other hand, Abaya v'Rava da'amitavayu, but Abaya and Rava argue with Rav Adabava, and they say Alpha Pisha ein gavoya shloisha. No, even if the nail is less than 3 tefachim tall, it still makes it not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid anymore. My time aloy mishtamishlay. And the reason is, like you just said, because you can't use it. Once you have a nail sticking up over there, you can't use the full 4x4 in order to put things on top of it. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, Rav Ashi says, afilu shegavoya shloisha. No, on the contrary. Even if the nail is 3 or more tefachim tall, still the whole thing counts as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You can't place something 4x4 on top of it. My timer, efshu d'toli be'midi, because after all, you have a nail over there. You can hang something from the nail. So what do you have there? For the rest of the surface, you're able to put something down. Here, you're able to hang something. So it still has the same function that you're able to put objects on it. It could be hanging off the side, fine, but the point still remains. You could hang something where it's above the top of it, but the point still remains. In other words, that the whole 4x4 is usable. Most of it is usable to put things down, and one part of it where the nail is usable to hang things from it. If it hangs down, but that's not the point, whether the object actually hangs below. If you actually hang something on there, would you be chayef for hitzam or shus? It would depend, b'pashtos, on it, actually, you might not be, because if you take it from Rosh Hasharabim and you hang it on this nail over there, if we say, if the part of it that's hanging down is still in Rosh Hasharabim, so it would be like the equivalent of a case that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, where you take a basket of fruit from inside the house and you place it partially outside the house. Part of it is sticking into Rosh Hasharabim and part of it is still in Rosh Hasharabim. We say you're potter. So fine, if you hung something on this nail and it hung down the side of the pillar, so part of it is hanging in Rosh Hasharabim, sure, maybe you'd be potter. But the point still is, you could hang a small thing on it, which would be completely on top of the pillar. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, on the contrary, you're always going to be, it's always still going to be considered Rosh Hasharabim. Now comes another question. So what would happen then if you were to fill up the entire top of the pillar with nails? So you have one nail, another nail, another nail. So now you have, on the face of it, even if you say that you can hang things from the nails, Mela, if you have one nail over there, okay, so you can still use the rest of the area to put small things. But if you have the whole thing is filled up with nails, then the area between the nails is not going to be usable at all. So maybe it shouldn't be considered a Shasa Yachid anymore. Ah, that's going to be the answer, right? Amale. So Rav Ashi answers him, Lo shmia lacha d'amar Rav Yechanan. Haven't you heard of the din that Rav Yechanan said? Bur v'chol yosa mitztarfen la'asara, a pit in the ground together with the lip, or together with the ledge or the lip or whatever around the bur. Rashi describes the word chulya actually means when you dig a bur, you have, what do you do with all the extra dirt? You pile it around to make a ledge around it. So then, so the din is that those two things mitztarfen la'asara, they combine together to make a height of 10 tefachim. In the sense, in other words, that let's say the burr is only 5 tefachim deep, and then the chulia is another 5 tefachim above that. The whole thing is 10 tefachim deep, and therefore it would be considered a Rosh Hasharabim. And if a person takes something from Rosh Hasharabim and puts it in there, or vice versa, he's going to be chayev. And also Rashi explains that also actually the chulia also helps to make up the 4x4 width of the burr. Let's say the burr itself is only 3x3, and then the chulia is an extra half a tefach on each side all around, so that it makes total of 4x4. Then it would become a Rosh Hasharabim by that. Now you have to ask, now why should it be a Rosh Hasharabim in those cases? On the face of it, you don't have a full, in the case, let's say, for example, where the chulia and the bur together combine for an area of 4x4, why would you be chayev? On the face of it, you don't have a full area of 4x4 where you can place things down, because some of it is on the top of the well and some of it is on the bottom. So what do you have to answer? Because, like you said, you could put something over the top of the well, put a board down or something, or a rock or something, and then you have a full 4x4 area that you're able to use. The answer is the same thing in the case of the pillar that's covered with nails. Same thing. What you do is you put a board on top of the nails, and there you go. You have an area where you're bored, you put a cloth, you put whatever, and therefore now you have a flat area again where you can use the full 4x4. So when you have only one nail there, you can't do that. Then we need to resort to Rav Ashi's svara about that you can hang things from the nail. But when it's filled up with a bunch of nails, adadab, then you don't even need that. Then you can just have it. It's possible to put something on top of it, and you have a flat area again, and therefore the whole thing is going to be considered Rosh Hasharabim, and therefore the whole thing is going to be is back to being a Rosh Hasharabim. But that's the thing, you're having two different hanas from the total area of 4x4 is what Rav Ashi is saying. On the one hand, you have where the most of the 4x4 you can use to put down things, and the area where the nail is you can use to hang things. So between the two of them, you have an area of 4x4. Okay. Fine. Now getting back to matters involving Eruvin, matters of Miut and Pesach, and involving walls. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Koisol Asara, if the wall is 10 tefachim tall, Tzorich Sulam Arba Aso Lahatiroi, then you need to have a ladder at least 14 tefachim tall in order to be matir. Now here we're talking about to use it as a Pesach. We're talking about that the ladder has to reach the top of the wall. Now why do you need 14 tefachim? So Rashi says what seems like a very odd thing. You can't have the ladder directly against the wall. when you go up a ladder, it always needs to be on an angle in order that you feel safe going up it. So you need the legs of the ladder to be at least four tefachim away from the wall and four plus. So therefore, you'd have four tefachim in that direction and 10 in that direction. The problem with that is, Tosfos says, what are you talking about? That's not how ladders work. A ladder goes on a diagonal. So you don't need four tefachim on the ground and then 10 tefachim and then 10 tefachim up the side of the wall. All you would need is a ladder that would be the diagonal of that, which would be so let's calculate then. You would have you need the ladder. You the ladder needs to be less than 11. Needs to be less than 11 amos tall. And less than 11 tefachim tall, and it would still be good, and it would still work out according to Rashi using Rashi's figures. So Tosfos says, no, actually what it is it's not just good enough to have the bottom of the ladder four tefachim away from the wall, according to Rav Yehuda. Because the problem is, yes, it's slanted enough, but it's not slanted enough. Rav Yehuda is telling us you need it slanted at a 45 degree angle. So you need the bottom of it to be 10 tefachim away from the wall. And then the top of it is 10 tefachim up the wall. So now if you figure out the diagonal of a 10 by 10 square, using the figures, the Gemara said before, that an amma along the side corresponds to 1.4 ammas along the diagonal, then 10 becomes 14. So therefore the ladder needs to be 14 tefachim tall. No. No, because the Pesach is four as far as a Pesach is as far as the width of it. So the ladder would have to be four tefachim wide. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the length of the ladder. So again, Rashi. So the Gemara is saying you need 14. Rashi's saying because four on the ground and 10 on the wall. And Tosfos is saying no, it means 10 on the ground and 10 on the wall, and 14 makes the diagonal of that. So it'll touch the top of the wall. That works. So what is Rashi thinking? I mean, Rashi, of course, knows that the diagonal is shorter than the two sides. So there is actually the Sfas Emes reinterprets Rashi to be saying the same thing as Tosfos. That in other words, that when Rashi mentions four tefachim, he doesn't mean the actual bottom of the ladder needs to be four tefachim away. He means that you need to make up for those four tefachim, and therefore the result of it is you eventually need the ladder. In other words, where are you getting the extra four tefachim for? By making up, by putting the ladder on a 45 degree angle. Another possibility that I saw is maybe Rashi holds, and it seems there are a few other sugyas where Rashi also holds this way, where when we need a diagonal for something in halacha, sometimes l'chumra we consider the sides of the square or the sides of the rectangle, even though using the diagonal would result in a kula. So in this case, in other words, it's true, if we were to use the diagonal, we'd need only 11 tefachim. But Rashi is saying that in certain cases, we need to go l'chumra and count as if it wasn't a diagonal, as if it was an L-shaped thing, and therefore you have your 4 plus 10. Even though we're talking about Eruvin, which is Dirabanan, nevertheless, there are certain cases where Rashi might hold that you have to be Machmir. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so that's he's saying you need 14. Rabbi Yosef Amafil Shloisha, so Mashu. Rabbi Yosef says you don't need 14. As long as you have a little over 13, that's good enough, because then the top of the ladder will be less than a tefach away from the top of the wall. And that's also good enough. Love, you need three tefachim. That's going to be the next opinion in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yosef is saying, at least fine, with a ladder, you need it to reach almost all the way to the top of the wall. But as long as the top of it is within a tefach of the wall, then it's good enough. Now, he also, Tosfos, points out the math doesn't seem to work. If you're telling me then that the top of the ladder needs to be within a tefach of the wall, now again, what is that? We're always going to say, Tosfos is saying, that the ladder needs to be at a 45 degree angle. So that means that you're going 9 tefachim and a tiny bit up the wall. That means you need the bottom of the ladder, the legs of the ladder, to be 9 tefachim and a little bit away from the top of the wall. That still doesn't equal 13. A diagonal of nine by nine would be around 12 or so. So Tosfos says, right, what the Gemara is not saying actually that the ladder literally needs to be 13 and a little bit. It's using it as a simon. The Gemara just wants us to know, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you need to reach all the way to the top of the wall, Rabbi Yosef says it can be within a tefach of the top of the wall. Yeah, mathematically, if you measure it out, it's going to be even shorter than that, because you also have that the legs of it then don't have to be as far away from the wall either. And the same thing with the next one in the Gemara. So according to Rabbi Yosef, not that you actually need the ladder to be 13 and a fraction. It means, in other words, that you need the ladder to reach within a tefach of the top of the wall, and it needs to be at a 45 degree angle. whatever that comes out to mathematically. It comes out to 12 and change. Because that way it's easier to walk up. A ladder that's at a 45 degree angle is like stairs. It's much easier to walk up than it would be if it was at a if it was more vertical than that. Yeah. Abaya amafil achadoso mashu. Abaya says it's good enough if the ladder is even only 11 and a fraction, because you can apply lavud, so the top of it is within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall, and therefore you're good. Again, mathematically, it would actually be less than that even, because, again, so you only need to go 7 tefachim and a little bit up the wall, and you need the bottom of the ladder to be sticking out 7 tefachim from the wall. So therefore, the diagonal at a 45 degree angle comes out to be much less than 11. But again, the Gemara is using 11 as a simon, in other words, starting with the 14 that Rabbi Yehuda said, you're subtracting 3 from it because it only needs to be within 3 tefachim of the top. And Rav Huna Bre de Rishua, I'm afilo shivo mashu. Rav Huna Bre de Rishua says all you need is for the ladder to be 7 in a little bit. Because according to Rav Huna Bre de Rishua, it's fine even if the ladder is directly against the wall. So we said yesterday about Sulam Tsuri and Sulam Mitzri. So yes, so first, I mean, a ladder that's 7 fucking tall usually isn't going to have 4 rungs on it. But you could have, okay, it was built with the rungs very close together, or it's a very heavy ladder, like we said yesterday, that works, or it's attached to the wall or whatever. So yeah, then Rav Huna Bre de Rishua says, I don't care if it's direct, if it's vertical, directly against the wall. That may make it very hard to go up and down, but you could still go up and down it. And it's within, and it reaches within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall. So therefore, lavud. So therefore, good. You have a Pesach. And if the other side does the same thing, then you can make a joint Eruv. Well, right, but the whole point is you're not allowed to put something on the top without making some kind, without it. Again, if you didn't make this miut, and the wall was 4 tefachim or more thick, then you wouldn't be able to put anything from your house. You wouldn't be able to bring anything from your house through your chatzer and put it on top of the wall, because the wall is owned jointly by both chatzeris, and since they can't make a joint eruv, then the top of the wall is also. So the chatzer itself, they can carry in as much as they want. From the chatzer, you have the machloikas of Reb Shimon and Reb Meir that we're going to have in the 9th parak about whether if you had something that started in the chatzer before Shabbos, are you allowed to carry it to a different chatzer or to a roof or whatever, even though they didn't make an eruv. The halacha is like Reb Shimon that you could. So yes, if you have something that began in the chatzer before, that was in the chatzer at the beginning of Shabbos, you would be able to bring it up to the top of the wall. But okay. Amar Rav, Sulam Zokuf Mamayat Gemara. So in this connection, Rav says, when you have a vertical ladder exactly going up and down without being on an angle at all, it is Mamayat. It does reduce the height of the wall. I heard from my Rebbe. Now, the previous Gemara, we were just talking about the 14 or the 13 or whatever, is more not so much about Mamayat, but about making a Pesach. But now we're going back to the matter of, let's say you're not using it for the purposes of a Pesach. Let's say, for example, only one side did it, or it doesn't reach, or according to my Ram Rutenberg, it doesn't reach within 3 tefachim of the wall, within 3 tefachim of the top. So you don't have a Pesach, but you have a miut. This that it's mamayit, even when the ladder is completely vertical. Gemara, he says, I learned this from my Rabbeim this way, but Veloya Dina, my time, I don't understand why. Why it's not that easy to climb up. Why should it be mamayit? So Shmuel says, does Abba really not know the reason for this? Now, why is he calling him Abba? So there's two possibilities. Either what it means, either that Abba is a title of respect for him, like Abba means father. So would mean Shmuel is calling Rav, who was older than him, by the title Abba, which is a title of respect, or because Rav's actual name was Abba, his actual personal name was Rav Abba, and therefore Shmuel, being a colleague of his, is calling him Abba without the title. His actual name that he was given by his bris was Abba. No, Rav is not Shmuel's Malamed. He's his chaver. So therefore, that would be the second possibility, is why he's calling him Abba, because he's his chaver and he can call him by his first name. Anyway, so does Abba, meaning Rav, really not know the reason why? It's like the case we had on Ein Zayin Amud Beis, involving one itzdava on top of another, where we said that that's good enough as long as they're within three tefachim of each other, so that you don't have miut ba'avir, according to Rashi, or that they're close enough together that you can use them both as if they were one big itzdava, according to the Rashba. The point is, in other words, so even though it's an itzdava, it's fairly narrow. It's only four by four. And maybe even only four in one dimension, actually, and it still counts as a miut. So the same thing, a ladder can also count as a miut, even though it's vertical and even though it's not so easy to climb up and down. Which Tosfos points out. Now, Shmuel is just explaining why Rav should understand what the din is, should understand the reason behind the din. Shmuel himself, we just said that if the ladder is vertical, it's no good. It needs to be on an angle. So he said, but he's explaining, Rav is saying, I don't understand the reason for what I learned from my Rabbeim. So Shmuel is saying, I'll explain the reason for what you learned, but the actual din itself, I disagree with. Okay. Amar Rabba Amar Rav Chiya, Dekolim Shebabavol Einan Tzrichin Keva. The stumps of palm trees in Bavel don't need a kvius, meaning you don't need, we talked before, for example, we talked yesterday about taking a seifel, taking a basin and putting it and turning it upside down and putting it next to the wall to serve as a miut. But if you take a stump or a piece of a tree, of one of these palm trees in Bavel and put it next to the wall, you don't need to actually fix it in place. That itself will be considered a miut as long as the top of it is within 10 tefachim of the top of the wall. My time, a kvedon kvaiten, because since they're so heavy, then it's like we said yesterday about the sulam tsodi, it's heavy enough that you don't regularly move it, and therefore it's considered a miut. You have, by the way, Rishonim over there also who learn that maybe something that's so heavy would actually be also to move. Maybe it's not even a matter of, we said, that practically speaking, you won't move it because it's so heavy. It may be more than that. There might be the possibility that maybe it's actually also to move it. There's an interesting point, actually. Well, because it's a lot of work on Shabbos. There's actually an interesting point that Ramban talks about when we talk about the mitzvah of Shabbos, about v'yemashvi Shabbos l'Hashem alakecha lo yisasa kol malacha. So he understands that besides that you have the 39 malachas you're not allowed to do, you're also not supposed to be doing heavy work, even if it's not an actual malacha. Let's say, for example, moving furniture around your house. At the very end of Igeres HaKodesh, in Tanya, at the end of Igeres Chavtes, there's a part over there where the Alter Rebbe is talking about what's involved in Hilchos Shabbos, and he mentions over there that you have to remember that there's a Torah Shabbat Peh that tells us exactly what Lo Yisasa Kol Malacha is, and it doesn't include the Lo Tiltul Avonim V'Kodesh Kvedos. It doesn't mean moving around heavy beams or stones. And then in some editions of Tanya, there was a word over there, Levad, in parenthesis, only. So in Shirim B'Sefer Tanya, it explains, they bring an explanation from the Rebbe that whether you have the word levad in there or not may depend on whether you accept the statement of the Ramban or not. If you say that it's also not, that it's also on Shabbos to be moving around heavy furniture or whatever, then fine, the Alter Rebbe is adding the word levad. It's not only moving around heavy furniture and beams and whatever is also on Shabbos, but also things that are much easier to do, like flipping on a light switch, as opposed to if you don't hold like the Ramban, if you say you are allowed to move around furniture and beams and whatever as much as you want on Shabbos, you're just not allowed to do the 39 malachas, then the word levad doesn't belong in there. Then the Alter Rebbe is saying, you would have thought without Torah Shabbat Peh that malacha means heavy things. It doesn't mean that at all. It only means the things that are the 39 malachas, including, for example, turning on lights. Okay, anyway. So the same thing over here. In other words, so whether we say that these stumps, whether we're saying that practically speaking, people don't move them because they're heavy, or is it you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos because they're too large and therefore they're muktzah, that'll depend on that point also. V'Rav Yosef Amar Rav Oshia, Rav Yosef says something similar in the name of Rav Oshia, Sulamos Shebabavel, the ladder is in Bavel, Einan Srichen Keva, they don't need to be attached in place. Same thing, my time of Kvedon Kvaiton, because they're so heavy that they're considered fixed in place. Now here again, Tosfos says, we're talking about, in other words, even if they have less than four rungs, because like we said yesterday, if they have four rungs, then anyway, we said, they're mamayit, but even if they have less than four rungs, but in Bavel, they made their ladder, it's very heavy, and therefore it's also, yeah. So the Gemara says, now two different things. Manda almost sulamos. Rabbi Yosef, who says this din as far as ladders, he would say, kol shekin to call him. How much more so this would apply to the stumps of the tree? Because if we're saying that that even the ladder, where people may move the ladder to take it someplace else, how much more so the stump which they're less likely to move. Umanda Omer Dekolim, but Rabba, who mentioned the case involving the stump of the tree, he would say Abba Sulam Isloy, but he would say a ladder is not necessarily a mute unless it's either a Sulam Tsodi that it has four rungs or it's attached in place with nails or whatever. Just the fact that it's heavy is not necessarily enough for it to be a mute, because you could easily move it on Shabbos, because you could move it on Shabbos and use it for something else. Okay. Bominei Rabbi Yosef Mei Rabba. So now we're going to have a series of questions that Rabbi Yosef asks Rabba about these dinim. Now, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were chaverim, but Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva for 22 years, and then he passed away, and then Rabbi Yosef took over. So during the years when Rabba was Rosh Hashiva, Pashtos is when Rabbi Yosef asked him these questions. So Bominei Rabbi Yosef Mei Rabba, Sulam Mikan V'Sulam Mikan V'Kashin V'Emtza Mahu. What happens if you have a ladder on each side, which is narrower than four tefachim, and then between the ladders, you made like rung-shaped things made out of straw? So would that count? Would the whole thing count as a four tefach wide ladder? Amalei ein kafa regel oilabahen. So Rabba says no, because your foot is not going to be able to go up on them. If you tried to step on the parts with the straw, you'd fall through. So therefore, that can't be considered a valid ladder. You can, but the two edges are each narrower than four tefachim. But no, because so that was the no. On the other hand, he asked, what about the other way around? What about the other way around? If you have a normal ladder in between, narrower than four, and then you put extensions made out of straw on the sides, then the answer is it would work, because the middle of it you can step on because it'll hold your weight, and the side pieces you can use, the side pieces of straw are strong enough that you can hold onto them with your hands to help yourself up. So therefore you have, it's considered a four tefach wide ladder. A number of the Rishonim have a different understanding of the questions in the Gemara over here and the answer. They understand that Rambam writes this, that Ashba writes this, that what we're talking about is over here. What if the wall itself between the Chatzeris is made out of straw? So instead of the wall being made out of brick or stone or whatever, like it usually would, what if it's made out of straw? And then both sides put ladders against it. The answer is, Rabba tells him, that's no good, because if they try to go up the ladders, the straw wall is not going to hold the weight. It's going to rip, and therefore they're going to be afraid to go up. Well, maybe, I don't know, yeah. Especially in Bava, where they had heavy ladders, you mean, maybe. On the other hand, then he asks him, what about if most of the wall is made out of straw, but the area where you have the ladder is made out of stone? Then would it be good? And he says, yeah, because then at least that part where the ladder is leaning against it is made out of stone and is strong enough to take the weight of the ladder. The fact that the rest of the wall is made out of straw, we don't care about. Okay. Then Rabbi Yosef asked him another question. What happens if you carve out into the wall things like rungs? In other words, again, you have a very narrow ladder. So what you do is you carve out in the wall wherever there's a rung on the ladder, you carve out a niche in the wall, like that would be an extension of the ladder on both sides. Other Rishonim give a different explanation. It can also mean, let's say the ladder is too short, and what you're doing is you're carving in the wall above it to make to the continuation of the ladder. So he says, then you only need to do it up to 10 tefachim. Rashi says it means 10 tefachim from the bottom So you do, let's say, one of them 3 tefachim from the ground, and the next one 3 tefachim from that, and so forth, until you reach a height of 10 tefachim. Tosfa says it means you have to start from the top of the wall. It has to be the top 10 tefachim. Then he asked him, what if you don't have a ladder at all and you just carve out niches in the wall one above the other, like you have in some swimming pools, for example, you don't have an actual ladder over there, you just have niches carved out in the wall that you use to go up and down. So then how tall does it have to be? He says then it has to be the full height of the wall, not just 10 tefachim. So he asked him a maishna. Why should it be different? Why, if there's a ladder there, but the ladder is too narrow, you only need 10 tefachim? But here, when there's no ladder at all, you need the full height.
Amalaysa, Rabbi says, practically speaking, because when you have a ladder over there and you're only using the niches on in the wall as extensions of it, it's easy enough to go up it. So once you've reached a height of 10 tefachim off the ground or a height of 10 tefachim from the bottom or from the top of the wall, or whatever, then it's easy enough to go up the rest of the way. But when you have it's only niches in the wall and there's no ladder at all, there's no side pieces even to hold on to, it's much harder to go up. So only if you have it to the full height of the wall, then you can do it, because then I guess you can use each one as a handhold for but not just 10 tefachim. Okay. Another question. Bominator Yosef Meiraba. Asoy Ilan Sulam Mahu. What about if you were to take a tree and make it as a ladder to go from one side to another? So instead of using an actual ladder, you have a tree over there, which is growing from the ground, and you have the branch. You left the branches in such a way that you can climb up from one branch to another and get to the top of the wall that way. That's going to be the question about Mukta. The question could be Tiboy le Rebbe, Tiboy le Rabbanon. The question can be both according to Rebbe and the Rabbanon, where we learned back in the third perek about the question, can you place the Eid of Tchumen in a tree? Does it work? So we discussed over there, the problem is that on the one hand, a tree is mukta. You're not allowed to climb up a tree on Shabbos midrabanon. On the other hand, we say that when you have something that's also midrabanon, then you're allowed to do it, at least in some cases, bein hashmoshes. Bein hashmoshes is when the Eruv takes effect, so therefore it could work. So the question that I'm asking over here about the tree can be either according to the Rabbanon or according to Rebbe. Tiboyle Rebbe, the question can be according to Rebbe as follows. Ad kan laka'omer Rebbe hosem kol davar shum shum shfus le'gazru olav. When does Rebbe say that something which is only awesome and rabbanon, like climbing up a tree or using a tree, is not also ben hashmoshes? Hani mili ben hashmoshes. That only applies ben hashmoshes. Avakula yom aloy. Rebbe agrees it wouldn't be good for the entire day. Now here you need a Pesach, which should be good for the entire day. Now it is true, we have learned before, that if they had a Pesach, now it's true, the Eid of Chatzeres also takes effect at Bein HaShemoshes. And we did learn before that if you have an opening between the Chatzeres, where they made a joint Eruv, and then during Shabbos, the wall collapsed or whatever, and now the Pesach is closed up, they can still continue to carry by throwing things over the wall or whatever, because one so it was hutrul mixas Shabbos hutrul kolay. The difference is over there that they're the opening. Other things being under normal circumstances, it would have stayed open for the whole Shabbos. But here, the opening, in effect, is only good. We know it's only going to be good Bein HaShemoshes. We know as soon as Bein HaShemoshes is over, it's going to be off limits. So maybe therefore it's no good. So even according to Rebbe, oy dilma afilu l'rabbanon, or maybe we could say even according to the Rabbanon, who don't allow you to put your eruv tchumen in a tree, but they would say, pischohu. Here, after all, it is considered an opening. It is physically you are able to use it to get from one to the other. Va'aryahu d'raviale. It's just you have a lion sitting on top of it, which is, in other words, that's the Gemara's metaphor for when you have an iser preventing you from doing something. So physically, it is an actual Pesach. Because there's an iser shavus, then therefore you're not allowed to. But maybe nevertheless, it's still considered an entrance to the extent therefore that now you can still pass things through the cracks in the wall or throw things over the wall or whatever with your joint eruv. So would that work? In other words, the idea is, imagine, for example, you had an actual doorway between the two chatzeres, but then let's say, for example, you had a lion sitting over there, so nobody can go through because they're afraid of the lion. Obviously, it's still considered a doorway. So the question is, here would we say the same thing, where it's only not a doorway because of the issue of climbing a tree on Shabbos? And he asks another question. What about if the tree that we're using for this purpose is not just a regular tree, it's an asherah, which is also bahana? So in other words, we could say, maybe fine, with a regular tree, maybe it would be mutter, like we just said, because it's only Av Yehudi Ravi Aleh. But in the case of an asherah, which is also bahana, maybe it would be different. Because then, in other words, with a regular tree, at least you could go up on the tree, bein hashmoshes. But an asherah, you're not allowed to. An asherah is also bahana. So therefore, so the question would be, asoy l'asher asul amahu. And now we can ask that question, tiboy l'Rabbi Yehuda, tiboy l'Rabbanan. That question can be asked both according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, also in the third parak, where we discuss the question, can you put your Eruv on a kever? Now, a kever is like an asherah, is also b'ana. But you have the consideration over there. We say that Rabbi Yehuda allows it because he says you don't care as long once you Eruv took effect, Ben Hashmashas, you don't care whether afterwards the food is preserved. Let's say afterward the food were to get lost or damaged or whatever, you don't care. Whereas the Chachamim would say you do care, and therefore you can't use it. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the fact all you're getting from the kever is a momentary hanah, and more to the point, it's a hanah for the sake of a mitzvah, because to put an eruv tchumen, usually you're only supposed to do the shame mitzvah. So therefore, and we have a rule mitzvah slav lahanes nitnu. The fact that afterwards the kever is serving as a place for your food, you don't care about that, because you don't care once the eruv took effect whether the food is actually still intact. So therefore, it should be mutter. The chum say, fine, as far as the hanah from the mitzvah, you're right, mitzvah slav lahanes nitnu. But afterwards, you have the hanah that the food is still there, and you do want the food to be preserved. So therefore, and a kever is also hanah. So now, the question about the asherah over here, you can ask according to either one of them. Tibay Rabbi Yehuda, you can ask the question according to Rabbi Yehuda. We can say Ad Kan like Ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda Hasam the Mutu Liknes Bias Be Suri Hana. You know why Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to be acquiring a house, meaning a Mokam Shvisa, using Isuri Hana on a caver. The reason is Ela Hasam the Bosser de Conile Eruv Once the Eruv takes effect, he doesn't care what happens afterwards. So therefore, he's not having any hana that's not part of a mitzvah from it. So maybe over here, he does care. He wants to be able to go back and forth to the chotzer, and he can't because it's an asherah, and it's also b'hana. Or again, we can ask, maybe even according to the Rabbanan, we would say over there there's a problem because he wants the food to be preserved on the kever all of Shabbos, and he's using the kever and it's also b'hana. But again, afilu Rabbanan pischu, you could say physically it is a doorway, and again you have a lion, you have the isser of Ashera sitting on top of it, preventing you from using it, but in and of itself it is a doorway and it should be mutter. And by the way, also, the Rashba points out, when you get down to it, an Eruv Chatzeros, there's also a shtickle mitzvah in it. Because an Eruv Chatzeros, the Yerushalmi mentions that one thing that's accomplished by an Eruv Chatzeros, it helps make shalom between people. There's a story that the Yerushalmi tells in that connection, which I think I've mentioned before, where there were two neighbors, two of the women in who were neighbors in a chotzer, weren't getting along. And then one day, one Erev Shabbos, one of them sent her son to go collect the food for the Eruv. And when he comes to this other neighbor's house, she's very happy to see him. She gives him a hug and a kiss and gives him the food for the Eruv. And he comes back home and tells his mother that the Ploinis hugged me and kissed me and told me how much she likes me and whatever. And the mother realized, no, so why didn't I like her in the first place? What do you mean I didn't like her in the first place? Obviously, she likes me, and Kamayim upon him. So making an Eruv helped make Shalom between the people. So the Rashba says the same thing over here. To be able to make an Eruv between the two Chatzeros is, to a certain extent, it helps make shalom, and therefore it's a shtickle mitzvah also. So maybe therefore the same svara should apply. Amalei, so Rabbah answers him, Ilan mutter v'asherah asura. With a regular tree, you're right, it would be mutter, but with an asherah, it would be also because it's also b'hana. Maskiflot of chista, but Rav Chista says, what are you talking about? Ad Rabbah, you should say the other way around. Ilan she'isur Shabbos gorim loy nitzar. A tree, why is it you're not allowed to go on the tree, to use the tree to climb between one chotzer and another? The issur on it is an issur of Shabbos. You're trying to be using the tree to be matir something for Shabbos itself. So you can't. It'd be self-contradictory. You're saying you want to use it to join the chatzeros together for Shabbos, but Shabbos itself is preventing you from going up it. So that should be also asherah she'issur davar achor gorim loy lenitzar. With an asherah, yeah, of course there's an issur, but the issur is a side thing. It has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. It has to do with Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So it has both. So Rishonim point out, we could be talking about over here about an asherah that's not attached to the ground. So in other words, yeah, because of course every asherah is a tree, but here we could be talking about where it's not attached to the ground anymore. So as far as the isser of climbing a tree on Shabbos doesn't apply anymore because it's not attached, but as far as the isser of asherah would still exist. There's other possibilities also. Maybe we'd be talking about a tree over here. It could be maybe still attached to the ground, let's say, but it's dried up. It has no leaves or fruit on it or anything. And therefore, so maybe we'd say, fine, you're not supposed to climb such a tree on Shabbos either. But the main reason you're not supposed to climb a tree on Shabbos is because you may pick something from it. And here it's only that would be almost like a gzera to a gzera. So maybe we wouldn't apply it over here. Anyway, the point is that Rav Chisda is arguing fakir, and Asherah should be allowed because the Issur on it has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, and a regular tree should be also because the Issur has directly to do with Hilchos Shabbos. And in fact, there was a further discussion about that. He also Ravin Amar Rabbi Lazar. When Ravin came from out Israel, he reported in the name of Rabbi Lazar. And others said Rabbi Bohu said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Kol Issur Shabbos Garam Loi Osir. Whenever there's an Issur Shabbos that prevents you from going up the tree, then it's Osir. Kol Issur Davar Acha Garam Loi Mutter. When it's a separate Issur, when it's an unrelated Issur, for example, the Issur of Avodah Zarah that prevents you from going up it, then it would be Mutter. Rab Nachman Meitzchok Masni Hochi, then you have another opinion. Rab Nachman Meitzchok learns like this. Elon plugged the Rebbe Rabbanon. When it comes to a tree, it would be Machloikas of Rebbe. We would, in fact, have the Machloikas of Rebbe and the Rabbanon. So Rabbi Yosef had said before that both Rebbe and the Rabbanon might agree with either possible Svara that we would say as far as a tree. But Rab Nachman Meitzchok is saying no. Rebbe, who allows you to place your Eruv in a tree, would allow you to use the tree as a ladder between the Chatzeros and have it be considered a Pesach. The Rabbanon, who say you can't, would say that you can't. And as far as Asherah, plugged to the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanon, as far as an Asherah, it would be the Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, Rabbi Yehuda, who allows you to place the Eruv Tchumen on a Kever, would allow you to use an Asherah. And the Chachamim, would say that not. The actual halacha, there's different opinions among the Rishonim. Okay, there's different opinions among the Rishonim. But in the end, the halacha is that we say that the tree is mutter, the asherah is osur, like Rabbah had said. And again, the idea being that the tree, the only reason you can't go up it is because of an Issur Shabbos, as opposed to an Asherah, you have an Issur Hanah to go up it and altogether, even Ben Ashmoshes, and therefore it's Osir. Okay. Mishnah says, Choritz Sheben Beis Chatzeres, if you have a ditch between two Chatzeres, Omak Yud Verochav Dalid, and the ditch is at least 10 tfachim deep and at least 4 tfachim wide. So if it was narrower than that, then it's easy enough to just walk over. Then you don't have a problem. But if it's 4 tfachim wide, it's not as easy to walk over. Therefore, Ma'arvin Shnayim Ve'en Ma'arvin Echad. Therefore, you have to make two separate eight of it. You cannot make a joint eight of it because the ditch divides them. Afilu mole kash oitavin, even if that ditch is full of straw or stubble. You're not usually going to be mevatel over there because you're eventually going to take out the straw and use it for animal food or for making bricks or whatever. So even if it's full of that, then it's still not batel. Tosfos talks about that we have to be talking about where the straw is not muktzah. Now we talked about straw that is muktzah. We had the case where you buried a fig in straw in order to get the fig to ripen. And there we said the problem was there might be a problem taking the fig out on Shabbos unless you can take out the fig without touching the straw. Because over there we were talking about straw that's muktzah. Here we're talking about straw that's not muktzah, and you would be able to take it on Shabbos, so therefore it's not considered to be mevatel the ditch. On the other hand, Molly offer it's Sroris Ma'arvin, Echad Ma'arvin Echad, Ve'in Ma'arvin Shnaim. On the other hand, if the ditch is filled with dirt or with rocks, then you have to make one Erev, then you can't make two Erevin because the dirt or the rocks are a bottle, and therefore you don't have a ditch there anymore. And by the way, you would have the din if only part of the ditch was filled in. If let's say only the middle of it was filled in, so then you would have the same rules as would apply to a Pesach between two Chatzeres. If the filled in place is at least 4 tfachim wide, then meaning the full width of the ditch and 4 tfachim from side to side, then it would count as a Pesach, and anything from there up to 10 amas would count as a Pesach. And if it's more than, so then they have their choice of one Erev or two Erevin. And if more than 10 amas length of the ditch is filled in, then we would say it would be considered like a pirtza, and then they have to make one Erev together. Continues the Mishnah, Nosan Olav Neser Sherochav Abot Tfachim. What if you put over the ditch, you put a board which is at least 4 Tfachim wide? So the board is, you put the board down to be kind of like as a bridge to go over the ditch. V'chein beis gzus teroyis zu keneged zu. Similarly, if there are two porches, one parallel to the other, Rashi explains that we're talking about where the porches are next to each other on the same side of the street. Rabbeinu Yohanan on the Rif has a problem with that, because in Masechta Shabbos we say that two porches on the same side of the street is actually also daraisa to hand things from one to the other. So how can we be talking about over here making an eruv between them where an eruv is only valid to Rabbanon? So okay, maybe Rashi would answer it's different over here if you actually put a board between them. But anyway, Rabbeinu Yohanan explains that we're not talking about they're across the street from each other. We're talking about that they're on the same side of the street. As Rashi says, we're talking about that they're across the street from each other, says Rabbeinu Yohanan. Anyway, so you have these two porches next to each other, like Rashi says, or across the street from each other, like Rabbeinu Yohanan says. Then Ma'arvin Shnayim, then so if you have a board between them, so Ma'arvin Shnayim, they could make two Eruvin, the Imrotsu Ma'arvin Echad, but if they want, they can make a joint Eruv, because with the board, they're able to walk across from one to the other, same thing as with the ditch. Although Tosfos says that actually maybe not. Tosfos says let's finish the rest of the Mishnah and then we'll see. Pachos mikan, if they're less than four tefachim apart, ma'arvin shnayim. If the board between them is less than four tefachim wide, ma'arvin shnayim ve'en ma'arvin echad, then they have to make separate eruvin because the board is not wide enough to join them together. So Tosfos actually argues and says, if you're talking about porches and you're talking about placing a board from one to the other, the Gemara is going to explain, we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that there's a difference whether the porches are exactly parallel to one another or not. Now, if you're talking about they're attached by a board, then what's the difference whether they're parallel to each other or not? So, okay, the Rashba answers and the Ritva answers that maybe if they're not parallel to each other, first of all, then you have it going from the corner of one to the corner of the other, and a corner is not, we learned at the beginning of the Masech, that the corner of is not the normal place to make a doorway, so it can't be counted as a doorway, or just because practically speaking, people would be afraid, it's not sturdy. Anyway, Tosfos, though, doesn't like any of that. And Tosfos says that what we're saying, the part that we're saying where the porches are similar is only about the question of whether they're more than four tefachim apart from each other or not. If you have the porches stick out next to each other, according to Rashi, or across the street from each other, according to Rabbeinu Yohanan, and they're less than four tefachim apart, then they would have to make a joint eruv. But nothing to do with if they're more than four tefachim apart, whether you put a board or not. Tosfos says that's not the din, that's not the din that applies to porches. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. The Tevin Loichayetz, you're telling me that if you put straw into the ditch in the first case of the Mishnah, that it's not considered a mechitz, that it's not considered to make a chatzitza. In other words, we still consider the ditch to be there. V'ha'anantnan, we learn in the next Mishnah, matbein sheben shtei chatzeres, if you have a pile of straw between two chatzeres, ma'arvin shnai, gavaya asar tefachim, and the pile of straw is at least 10 tefachim tall, ma'arvin shnai, mein ma'arvin echad, then they have to make separate eruvin, because the pile of straw is considered a mechitza. So the same thing over here, the straw inside the ditch should be considered that it cancels out the ditch. The answer is Omar Abaya, then in mechitza kol amal epligi dava mechitza. Sure, when it comes to straw forming a mechitza above ground, everybody will agree it counts as a mechitza, and therefore, because eventually you're going to remove the straw, but right now at least it's there, and therefore it's considered a mechitza. As Rashi points out, we had in the first parak even that you can make a mechitza for purposes of Shabbos. Even let's say you're camping out in the fields or whatever, like a caravan. We said they take the animal gear and they take their kalim and whatever and make a makeshift mechitza. That's good enough. So the same thing, straw will count as a mechitza as long as it's there. Aval inin chatzitza, but you're talking about over here as far as that it should be considered to cancel out the charetz, that it's a chatzitza of the air in the charetz and it should be considered closed up. Then no, I batle chayetz, if he's mevatel it there. And says, I'm not planning to take it from there. Chayitz, then sure, it makes a mechitza, and therefore it cancels out the the choritz, the ditch. If you didn't, then it's not, then it doesn't help for that. What he has to do to be mevatalit, Rashi says of it, he has to actually say that I'm not going to be taking it. There are other mefarshim who learn that it would be good enough if he thinks that he's not going to be taking it. You also have the question, does he have to be mevatalit only for the one Shabbos or for whatever, or forever. The point is, if he's not mevatalit according to any of these criteria, then we can't say that it takes away the status of the choritz. Then we would say the choritz is still considered there, and therefore, since it's four tefachim wide, then it separates the two chatzeres. Okay. Yeah.